ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم:
ولما فصلت العير قال أبوهم إني لأجد ريح يوسف لولا أن تفندون. قالوا تالله إنك لفي ضلالك القديم.
صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم أرنا حقيقة الأشياء كما هي، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last Sunday we concluded with 93 ayat of Surah Yusuf, and we're starting from the 94th today. By the end of the last ayah, Yusuf alayhi salam's identity had been revealed to his brothers. They came to realize how he's definitely chosen over them by Allah for good reason, and that their abject weakness, moral weakness before and now, financial weakness, every kind of weakness that you can possibly imagine. These brothers who prided themselves on their strength at the very beginning of the story, who could not understand their father's preference that he had for Yusuf alayhi salam. And now they've come to understand that there was something about him that he had lived up to, something that he had proven through his life, through his example. And so Yusuf alayhi salam gives them his shirt and tells them to take it to their families and bring the families to Egypt. وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرِ. So when the caravan departed from Egypt, قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ, their father said, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُف, I feel the scent of Yusuf. Caravan's departing from Egypt. He's not anywhere near Egypt right now. Yaqub alayhi salam is in next to Bayt al-Maqdis, and he smells, he has the scent of Yusuf alayhi salam. Lawla an tufannidun, even though you may consider that I've lost my mind, you will think that I'm crazy, but this is what I feel. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضُلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. They said, by Allah, you are still suffering from the same old delusion of yours. You still think Yusuf is going to come back. فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ. But when the bearer of glad tidings arrived, so when before the caravan came, the one announcing the caravan comes first, أَلْقَاهُ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ فَرُتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. He took the shirt and cast it on Ya'qub's face, and his sight returned. The smell of Yusuf, the scent of Yusuf that he had when the caravan departed, and then the shirt itself, with, of course, if he's that familiar with the scent of Yusuf, and the shirt itself comes to the father, and that is a sure shot sign that Yusuf alayhi salam is not only alive, he wants his family to be with him. And the eyesight that was lost in grieving Yusuf alayhi salam returns in celebration of his return. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He said, didn't I tell you, I know from Allah what you do not know. قَالُوا, they said, يَا أَبَانَ اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Now the brothers, they implore their father. They said, our father, forgive us our sins. إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِئِينَ. We were definitely guilty. We made a lot of mistakes. We were on the wrong. Forgive us, accept our apology. قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. Yaqub alayhi salam said, I will soon ask my Rabb also to forgive you. Note here, he does not say that I'll do it right now. He says, I'll do it later. Yusuf alayhi salam had immediately forgiven his brothers. He'd processed it. Yaqub alayhi salam, his wounds are fresh. His hurt that he suffered at the hands of his own children for the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam for all these years and then Binyamin, he's not that ready to forgive yet. And again, this is something that we need to remember, for we become very oppressive on our own family and friends, demanding from them to forgive. Forgiveness is not an obligation. Forgiveness cannot be enforced upon anybody. You have to forgive. It is a matter of ihsan. It is a matter of personal excellence and choice. And you're not respecting, you're not honoring that freedom that a person has when you're imposing upon them that you have to forgive. Then ayat upon ayat, and ahadith upon ahadith. Cornering the person, not recognizing where they stand at that point emotionally. That has to be given space. It may well be, and so many people, when they do feel compelled, they feel cornered, they feel pressurized into forgiving, they may forgive verbally. They may feel so guilty for not being able to forgive that they forgive verbally, but then their heart's not into it. They're not forgiving, or they cannot forgive from the entirety of their being. And so what they carry is a resentment inside. There's a forgiveness on their tongues. Apparently they're okay, but internally they're not. And that internal resentment, that rancor that they hold, that then manifests itself in different ways, passive-aggressive. Not being very explicitly aggressive, obviously, because they've forgiven, but then they're taking jabs other ways. Then they're creating tension some other ways. And so it was far better than this crooked way of relating with each other, where apparently there's forgiveness, whereas in reality there is none. And everyone has to weigh themselves. Do I have that capacity? And we should definitely not force or corner people. They know themselves best. And we have to respect that and give them the space for that. If a prophet of Allah, he's saying, I'll do it, but later. سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. Soon I will ask my Rabb to forgive you. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is certainly most forgiving, ever merciful. He's not even saying about himself forgiving them. He's saying, I'll ask Allah to forgive you. He's الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Perhaps don't even have those expectations from me. The hurt that you caused was that deep. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفُ. So when they all entered upon Yusuf, أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. He took his parents to himself. He made them sit next to him, وقال, and said, ادخلوا مصر إن شاء الله آمنين. Enter Egypt secure by the will of Allah. ورفع أبويه على العرش. He raised his parents to the throne. وخروا له سجدا. And they all fell down in prostration before him. وقال, and Yusuf عليه السلام said, يا أبتي هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل. Father, this is the interpretation of my dream that I saw. The dream that the surah began with. Yusuf alayhi salam, as a child, he sees a dream. He narrates it to his father. His father says, hold on to that dream. Do not share it with your brothers. But it is a sign of something special. It is a sign that you're going to be the next prophet. You're from the lineage of prophets. Note how the dream itself, it had an element of prophecy, of course. But in making that dream come true, the effort of Yusuf alayhi salam, the sabr of Yusuf alayhi salam, the isma of Yusuf alayhi salam, the ihsan of Yusuf alayhi salam, all of that came with his struggles. It was an important ingredient in the fulfillment of that dream. That dream just didn't come true on its own. It wasn't just because it was meant to happen, it happened. No, there was a lot of effort. There was a lot of choice. There was a lot that Yusuf alayhi salam did to make that dream come true. His understanding of dreams coming true or destiny being fulfilled involved a lot of effort on his own part. He didn't just say, I'm going to sit back and relax and wait for this dream to come true. He did whatever it was that was needed for that dream to come true on his own part. قَدْ جَعْلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّى Yet his humility in that, in the fulfillment of that dream, my Rabb has made it come true. Allah has made it come true. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي He has been very kind to me. Allah has treated me beautifully. Getting me abducted by my brothers, thrown in a well, sold off as a slave, harassed not once but twice, or even more than that, wrongfully sent to jail. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي رَبِّي Yet what is he saying? My Rabb has been very, very gracious with me. All that suffering that he was subjected to, he is looking in that and he sees beauty. And he sees Allah's plan. And it is that seeing, this that ability to see the beauty in all of that suffering that not only turned his own life around, he came out of jail. His name was cleared up. He was appointed as a minister. He earned that position for, because of which he could get his entire tribe, all his brothers, his parents, with their families, to come to Egypt as royal guests. With that patience, with that sabr, with that ihsan, he didn't just change his own life. His family's fortunes turned. They were living the life of poverty or as nobodies or whatever the situation was. Now they are guests of royalty. It's not just his family. All of Egypt, because of his interpretation of the dream and how he carried himself doing that and the responsibility he took for himself and then took care of the finances of Egypt, Egypt was saved. On account of that ihsan, on account of that sabr. Not just Egypt, but all the adjoining areas that were stricken with famine, their source of food during that time, their source of nourishment, their source of life became Egypt. Why? Because a person who deserved that responsibility took that responsibility and lived up to that responsibility and he earned it. With the sabr and ihsan in the entirety of his life. It wasn't just Egypt at that time. It wasn't just the adjoining areas of Egypt at that time. Centuries later, in the Amul Huzn, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they are hearing the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and they're finding solace. They're finding hope. They're finding inspiration. They're finding encouragement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finds for himself a role model in Yusuf alayhi salam. And it is as if he sees his destiny in the culmination of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. That's what he's going to say. He holds on to that ayah He holds on to it until Fath Makkah. So with the sabr and ihsan of Yusuf alayhi salam, not just the people of his time, but centuries later, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they find nourishment. They find a source of life. And we are indebted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And so we are indebted to Yusuf alayhi salam. The fact that we're all sitting here right now, it was what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum did, their sabr, their ihsan, and they took their inspiration from this surah from Yusuf alayhi salam. So how the suffering of one person who saw in his suffering a plan of Allah and he held himself strong centuries, millennia, the entirety of humanity is indebted to that person in jail holding on to his faith. We don't see people in jail with that eye. We don't see ourselves in the midst of our own suffering. That's the possibility. There is so much to be unlocked. In the midst of suffering, we see suffering and we think all is lost. There's no chance. All doors are closed. But there is a divine plan to trust that, to hold on to that, to face that suffering with dignity, with honor. And then to realize that that dignity, that honor, that uprightness, that sabr, we're not the only ones who benefit from that. Generations benefit from that. Just like generations suffer when we become victims, when we play the victim card, when in the midst of genuine suffering, we lose our handle on sabr, on ihsan, on how that suffering is meaningful. There is a divine plan in there for us. We lose that altogether. In a similar circumstance, right around the same time, Surah Hajj actually addresses that option. You want to lose hope, you can lose hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of the person who loses hope because of all the difficulty that they're subjected to is like a person who puts a rope to the sky and he starts climbing that rope. And he's climbing that rope and he's getting on real high. He's doing good. He has faith. He's acting on that faith. He's elevating himself. But then the going gets really tough. And he doesn't know if he should continue on that path or not. He doesn't know if he should let go of hope because he doesn't see an end in sight. Allah says, let him leave that rope then. Let him let go of that rope. What's going to happen? See if his frustration is any better if he lets go of that rope, because when he lets go of that rope, he falls flat on his face. Is that an option? But the fact that these ayats are coming down says that these ayats and these reminders were necessary, because those feelings were developing. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبِّي حَقَّا وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي, and he has been very gracious to me. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ, when he brought me out of prison. He doesn't mention all the suffering. He talks about when the suffering stops, when liberty is attained. When he brought me out of prison, وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ, he brought you from the desert. مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي, after Shaytan stirred up a rift between me and my brothers. إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ, my Rabb is certainly subtle, latif, in what He wills. What Allah's plan is and how He goes about that plan. That there is so much subtlety there. Who would have thought, who would have perceived In the jealousy of Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, in their abduction, in their selling him off, in all of that, who would have seen the presence of Allah? And because it is, he is so difficult to perceive, he is so imperceptible, that's what it means to be subtle. That's what it means to be latif. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ He is definitely knowing and wise. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ My Rabb, you have blessed me with dominion. You have given me some power. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَأَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ And you have taught me interpretation of dreams, or you've taught me how to interpret matters, affairs, dealings, whatever goes on. You have given me an understanding, a depth in them. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The originator of the heavens and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ You are my protector in this life and in the next. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ Make me die as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. We saw this in Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is a sign of acceptance right here. He has been elevated beyond imagination. Yet, he recognizes that he cannot take that elevation for granted. He's a prophet, yes. His father's a prophet, yes. His grandfather's a prophet, yes. His great-grandfather's a prophet, yes. All his efforts, his sacrifices have been accepted, yes. He's coming out victorious, yes. But is he arrogant about it? Is he entitled about it? He's like, no. He's turning humbly to Allah and saying, my end, Ya Allah. When I die, I need to die on Islam. For some, again, a moment for all of us to reflect. Do we entertain the possibility of not dying on Islam? Do we fear that possibility? That we will die and we will not be in a state of Islam. Yusuf alayhi salam feared that possibility. He entertained that possibility. He thought it was definitely possible. It could be a reality. And so he prays very humbly. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ And join me with the righteous. Place me among the righteous. Again, it is an honor for the people of righteousness that Yusuf alayhi salam is going to be in their midst. But in his humility, in the moment, he's not acting all entitled. He knows Allah has given me this, he can take this away. One mistake is all it takes at times. So he says, Ya Allah, I want this to be protected. I want myself, my iman to be protected. I want the company of the righteous to be of the Muslimin. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ Now the Qur'an turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and everyone listening that this is news of the unseen نُحِيهِ إِلَيْكِ which we reveal to you, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ You were not there with them. إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ When they agreed on their plan. وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ While they were scheming. When the brothers were plotting their plot, you weren't there with him, with all of them. Allah is bringing this news to you. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ And despite your deepest desire, most people will still not believe. They asked you a question, how did Yusuf and his family end up in Egypt? When they weren't there, that's not where Ibrahim alayhi salam left Ishaq. That's not where Ishaq left Yaqub. How does Yusuf alayhi salam and all the brothers, how does Musa alayhi salam, how do they end up with the Pharaoh in Egypt? What's the story? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa gives them the story down to the last detail. Are they still going to believe? No. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa wants nothing else. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ Even though you don't ask them anything of it. One of the most important claims of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, I'm not a storyteller. This is not my profession. I'm not making money off of it. If anything, I've lost everything for it. I've sacrificed everything for it. I'm not a Qur'an teacher who charges. I am, if anything, done for because of it. Everyone's turned against me. That level of sacrifice that comes with passing the message is a sign of truthfulness. In huwa illa dhikrul lil alamin. This is just a reminder for all the people of the world. Wa ka'ayyin min ayatin fis samawati wal ard. You're surprised that they're going to hear this story and how you could not have possibly known this. You weren't there with Yusuf. You don't know how to read or write. You have no access. And the story, even if you did have access to the Bible, as some hypotheses go, some accusations against the Prophet ﷺ, this is not how the story is narrated in the Bible. It's very different. And you're surprised that they still don't believe in you? You've responded to their challenge, and you're still surprised that they're not accepting your response? That they're not overawed, overwhelmed into believing? Why are you so surprised? They pass ayat of Allah every day in the heavens and the earth. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ. This story of Yusuf alayhi salam and all of these ayat in the Quran. Don't be surprised that people don't take them seriously. People don't take any of the ayat around them seriously. They don't see ayat. Every single thing in existence, in our experience, is testifying to the reality of God, to the greatness of God, to the power of God, to the wisdom of God, to the knowledge of God. All of that, to the mercy of God, to the love of God, to the ability of God to see and hear and respond. All of these ayats. And we're so deeply afflicted with a cataract of materialism, if you will, that we look at these ayats not as signs of God, but as an ends by themselves, within themselves. And we say, where's God? We don't see him. It's not that you don't see him because he's not there, or that these are not ayat. You don't see him because you're blind. If a blind person continues to complain, why is there no light? What would you say to that blind person? يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا. They pass by these ayat. And again, yes, it's talking about the kuffar, it's talking about those who reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is a point of reflection for all of us as well. We pass by ayat of Allah, morning, noon and night. The rising sun, the setting sun, the clouds, the rain, the wind, the trees, the fruits, the flowers, the butterflies, all animals, and then humans, and the incredible achievements of humans. How many of those remind us of Allah? How many of us make us stop in our tracks and reflect and say, wow, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. And how many of those we just pass by, taking them for granted? There is a curiosity that a child has. A very childlike state of experiencing things. For a child, everything is awesome. One of the first things that children learn to say is, wow. You would actually hear that in their expression quite frequently. Because they're experiencing the stuff that is very routine and mundane for us. They're looking at it as a wonder. Everything is wonderful. Again, to bring that childlike state to our mind, to our reflection, to our prayer, to be able to see these as ayat of Allah. وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. So how many signs in the heavens and the earth, they pass by them and they pay no attention to them. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And most of them who do believe in Allah, most of those who believe in Allah don't believe in Allah except with some shirk involved in there. It's a very frightening ayah. The inevitability of shirk, of how easy it is for shirk to permeate our thought process, our feelings, our actions. Allah is saying most people who believe in Allah don't believe in Allah except with shirk. It's sullying that iman. That to perfect the tawheed is a process. To genuinely become muwahhid is effortful. It's a struggle. It has to be consciously, deliberately carried out. It's not something that you take for granted. I said the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I'm a muwahhid. Not so fast. It's a wonderful achievement and a blessing of Allah, but it's the start of a journey. And there is so much shirk that consciously and unconsciously permeates our being that it has to be filtered out. It has to be purified out. There is that element of tazkiyah that is necessary. أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. So do they feel safe that there will not come to them an overwhelming event, a punishment from Allah? أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً. Or there comes to them the last moment all of a sudden. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine that. Every Friday he would be afraid. Every Friday he would be afraid. The one who gave us all the signs of the hour, minor signs, major signs, what will happen, what he knew all of that. But every time, on Friday, he would be afraid. Every time there would be a storm brewing, he would be afraid. Is this the adab of Allah? Friday, the day of judgment is scheduled on Friday, is what he said. On Fridays, he would be afraid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not claim certainty in his knowledge about the coming of the hour. Rather, what he taught us, what he embodied in his own self, is that you don't need to know. It is important that you don't know. It is important that you fear that it can come whenever. But we feel secure in our knowledge of the signs of the hour. How can the final day come? How can the day of judgment come? Isa alayhi salam has not come. The Mahdi has not come. I haven't seen the Dajjal yet. The hour cannot come. Ya'juj Ma'juj have not come. It is as if all of these signs have to be fulfilled and all these entities who are to come are going to come with labels. We are Ya'juj and Ma'juj. It's like you're watching a movie and there's captions. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afraid. How do we reconcile that with our attitude? We don't see the day of judgment coming. We don't fear the day of judgment coming. Allah asks, it is a sign of faith to be afraid. It is a sign of faith to not know. And it is perhaps a testimony of how deeply insecure we are that we find refuge in the certainty of these signs and how we've understood them. Didn't Rasulullah understand them better? Why was he still afraid? أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرَنَ. And they have no idea. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Say, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I invite to Allah عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, with insight. This is not blind faith. This is with clarity. Seeing with open eyes. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I am those who follow me. I'm not inviting you to something that doesn't make sense or cannot be understood. There is an element of basira that is necessary. A clarity that the Qur'an invites to. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa and the Sahaba demonstrate. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. And exalted is Allah. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And I am not of those who associate with Allah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ. And we did not send before you messengers except men to whom we revealed from the people of the town. We chose them. They were human beings. All prophets were human beings, so you are a human being as well. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Haven't they traveled through the land? فَيَنْظُرُوا to see كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ What was the end of those before them? وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا And the home of the hereafter is definitely the best for those who fear Allah. Just this traveling through the land and whatever history this teaches you, that history is testifying to a future. That there are consequences, that actions have consequences, that nations undergo the consequences of the choices that they take. And so if all undergo the choices, the consequences of their choices, why would you not face the consequences of your choices? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ So don't you think? حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ Until when the messengers have given up hope. وَظَنُّوا And they start thinking. Those with them, again, this is Amul Huzn, 10th year of prophethood. No sign of freedom, no sign of any difficulty upon the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum or the Prophet relenting in any way. It goes, seems to go from bad to worse, from worse to even worse. And so Allah is saying, there's nothing new about that. Hatta idha stay'asa ar-rusulu, messengers who were sent before. There came a point that they were losing hope. All those with the messengers had started thinking, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا They had started thinking that they were lied to. They started entertaining doubts. It's been so long, the help of Allah is not coming. مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا Then came the help of Allah. It is when it gets that difficult. When they are rattled to their core, when the very faith they're holding on to is slipping away, and they feel there's no way out, that's when the help of Allah comes. It is to that level that Allah tests. What are you made of? How true are you to your claim? فَنُجِّيَ مَن نَشَاءُ And so whoever we willed was saved. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ And our punishment cannot be repelled from the criminals. Again, the news that we hear, the world that we see, whatever it is that we're experiencing, gives this impression that those who have rejected Allah, those who have turned away from Allah, those who are oppressing the people of Iman, they're victorious. That there seems to be no consequence for their evil. Apparently, they can get away with genocide. But then there is the narrative that the Quran gives us of iman, of hope, of an understanding, of responsibility, mind you, that for the people committing genocide to actually suffer for their sins and their crimes, there has to be a believing people who are standing on the other side, holding on to faith. Yes, there are fara'ina in the world that we live in. There is no doubt about that. And they've probably killed more than the Fir'aun could ever dream of. But where's the Musa? وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ In their story is a lesson for the people of understanding. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى This is not a narrative that was invented. This is not a comic strip. This is not a Disney movie. This is not Marvel. This is something that you hear and your life responds by changing. وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ And an explanation of everything. Everything, really? Yes, everything worth being explained. Everything necessary. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٍ And a guidance and a mercy. لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ For a people who are inclined to believe. For a people who want to believe. There is belief. But a continuous explanation of iman in the Quran is iman is not just something you do once. Iman is an attitude that you continue to carry, looking to learn more, to know more, to believe more. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. There's comments or questions, please do feel free. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.